of us are keenly aware of the existence of spiritual beings such as angels and demons. Others of us don't really give a whole lot of thought about them. Some deny their ability to influence our lives, and certainly we are not to be fixated on them and we're not to worship them. And we have authority in the name of Jesus to rebuke and cast out evil spirits. But spiritual beings are very real. They exist, and the Bible talks about them. Today's psalm is unique. It gives a glimpse of what an interaction between God and the heavenly beings might look like. It can be difficult in places to interpret, but in the end, it teaches us that we are all accountable to God and that God alone can bring true justice. The psalm is attributed to Asaph, and there are many people named Asaph in the Bible. One was chief musician under David, and many psalms were written by him. And another is an Asaph who served under King Jeroboam II. And both of these were known as seers or prophets. So in addition to being musicians, they were also visionaries. With the exception of the introduction and the concluding verse, God is the one who is speaking in this psalm. So we see things from God's perspective. And the psalm gives us a vision of what court might look like in heaven. Verse 1 literally says, God takes God's place in the congregation of God, or the mighty one, in the midst of the gods. So there's a lot of gods there, and it's all the word Elohim, except for the one L. And one of the things that makes this difficult is the translation of Elohim, which is both God and gods. So we have to distinguish in the scriptures between, is this talking about the one true God, or is it talking about false gods or lesser beings, or is it talking about people, or is it talking about angels? And we use verb tenses and context to try to figure out that out. The second question is, who is it that is being judged? So who are these gods? Some of the early church fathers said this psalm is about earthly rulers, magistrates. But the problem is that in the sentence where they are condemned in verse 7, it says, I say you are gods, but you are going to die like mere men and fall like one of the princes. On the other hand, Jesus uses this verse to refer to himself in John chapter 10. Jesus has been accused of blasphemy, and the Jews are about to stone him because Jesus has said that I and the Father are one. And Jesus responds to them, their charge of blasphemy, by saying in John 10, verse 34, Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law that I have said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. Jesus says that gods, the Elohim, refers to those to whom the word of God came. Anyone who has received the word of God and is responsible for its transmission and carrying it out is called an Elohim, according to the way Jesus uses the word. And using this verse, Jesus calls himself the Son of God. Jesus denies the charge of blasphemy because he has been given the task to bear the word of God into the word and to mete out God's justice. And he has the right to describe himself thus, and he actually is doing what God has called him to do. He not only bears the word of God, we know that he is also called the very word of God. At the same time, he exposes those who charge him of blasphemy. He exposes those Jews as those who have been given God's word but have not carried it out, who have failed in their transmission. A second theory is that the Elohim here refer to the false Canaanite gods of the religions around the Jews and that God is condemning them, saying that they are nothing and they are going to die, and they, you know, they're incapable of carrying out justice, and only God himself is capable of carrying out justice. And then there's a theory that these are spiritual beings, angels and demons, being judged for not doing their jobs. Again, if the Elohim are those to whom the word of God has been given for the purposes of transmitting it and carrying it out, then this includes the heavenly beings. Again, the word angel simply means messenger, and it has referred to people as well as spiritual beings. We know that angels are ranked because there are archangels. And the scene of God holding court to judge the angels is similar to another one that we find in the book of Job. At the beginning of the book of Job, in Job 1:6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan also came among them." And we know that the angels came to tell God what they've been up to, and Satan had to do the same thing. And so from this verse, we see that the spiritual beings are also called sons of God. We learn that the heavenly beings must report back to the Lord, including Satan and the demons. And we learn that because they must give an account, they have some kind of will of their own. They're given jobs to do, but they have the choice of whether or not they're going to carry out those responsibilities, just like we. We also see the freedom of the heavenly beings in other scripture passages as well. And scripture shows us that different types of heavenly beings have different jobs. We have cherubim and seraphim. We know that some angels are in charge of worship. We know that some are in charge of meting out God's justice. There are some that are called elementals, so they may have some sort of responsibility or authority over elements. Many are assigned geographic territories. We know from the book of Daniel that there are princes of different regions like Persia and Greece. So nations have angels overseeing them. And we also know from the book of Revelation that churches have angels that oversee them. And again, those angels seem to be geographically based, as opposed to the angel of Antioch Presbyterian Church. It might be the angel of the Church of Jacksonville. But in this psalm, we see the gods, the heavenly beings, tried and judged by God for injustice. They mistreat the poor and the needy, and they favor the wicked. They have not defended the fatherless and the afflicted. Verse 5 is written in the third person. And so, again, we have this problem of figuring out who is the they in verse 5. They walk around in darkness. They are ignorant. They lack knowledge. Well, some think that this is Asaph's view of the gods, that they are ignorant and walk in darkness. Others say that God is still speaking here, and he is addressing the other heavenly beings who are not on trial or have already given their accounts to God and found not guilty. Others say they refers to the poor and the needy who have been left in ignorance because the word has not been transmitted to them like it should have been, and they are left in darkness. The result of the God's action is that the foundations of the earth are shaken. And earthquakes in the Bible are often a symbol of God's judgment or creating stability where there has been instability caused by injustice. Earthquakes symbolize a return to chaos and disorder, a consequence of injustice on the earth. And so God must reset the foundations through the earthquake. The sentence for the guilty gods is handed down, and the sentence is death. God says that they will fall like one of the princes. This could refer to dethroned earthly rulers or reference to a being like Satan who has been cast down into the earth and will one day be destroyed in the lake of fire. Finally, the psalmist appeals to God to do what the gods cannot. Elohim must do what the false Elohim, the lesser Elohim, could not, which is to bring true justice to the earth. The appeal for God to do this is that God possesses or will possess all the nations. Both readings are possible, and we know that people from every nation, tongue, and tribe will stand before the throne of God and give God glory as those who have been redeemed by him. We also know that God is sovereign over the whole earth, and God rules even those who do not believe in him. So whatever this psalm is trying to tell us, whatever reality or imaginary scenario that Asaph paints, the truth is that all beings in heaven and on earth must give account to God. Romans 14:12 tells us, "So then, each of us shall give an account to God." The context and how we treat other people, particularly in regard to judging them. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive payment for the things through the body according to what he or she has done, whether good or bad." So the early church fathers were right in their application of this psalm, that we must be people of justice, for justice is a concern of God, especially for those who are marginalized, who are often mistreated, and who are unable to seek justice for themselves. This week, today, is Sanctity of Life Sunday. So we think of children whose lives have been snuffed out because they were deemed inconvenient. We are called to speak up for them and to work for justice. And also Sanctity of Life, we think of those who are towards the end of their life, the elderly and infirm, who are shoved aside and mistreated, whose lives are not considered of value. And we are called to seek justice for them. We think of those with handicaps or mental disabilities who have been shoved aside by society and abandoned and have no advocate. And we are called to seek justice for them. Also on the church calendar today, it is also Criminal Justice Sunday. And we have many people in this church who work in our criminal justice system, either in courts or parole officers or in the prisons. And would you guys please, ladies and men, please stand for a second so we can recognize you if you work in the criminal justice system. Chris, Jay, and Janie's husband, Jerry, and and Cynthia has, and Wanda, who's not here, she works in the courts. So I hope that you will remember these folks, that you will pray for them. It is their vocation right now, their calling by God to help mete out justice, to help maintain justice. So pray for these folks. Thank you. You may be seated. There are professional folks whose job it is to do this, but it's not just them. It's all of us. All of us are called to work for justice, to uphold justice. Like the heavenly beings, we have to give an account to God for the ways that we treat other people. When people do not have equal access to resources that enable them to live, that's injustice. Basic things like clean water and food and basic health care and shelter. Jesus even called us to go beyond justice. He gave us the golden rule that says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." So even if somebody doesn't deserve to be treated justly, we are to treat them with kindness and mercy because that's the way that we would want to be treated. Bob Deffenbaugh says, "We are godlike only when we rule as God would rule. We are Elohim when we behave like God. Brothers and sisters, we are recipients of the Word of God. The Word of God has been given to us. And because the Word of God has been given to us, we are responsible for transmitting it, for carrying it out, for following it. And only though Christ does it perfectly, only though God can give true justice, we are called to be like Christ, and we have been given the Holy Spirit so that we can be like Christ, so that we can be justice keepers. So do you work for justice? And do you care about those whom are on the very heart of God, the needy, the poor, the fatherless, the oppressed? Let us pray. And gracious God, you have called us children of the Most High. And you have given us your word, and you have given us the responsibility for carrying it out. We thank you that you are a God of justice, and we thank you that you care about those whom too often society does not care about. Lord, help us to be people who work for justice, who care about people on the whole spectrum of life, from conception to their final breath. We thank you for the people who work for justice, who try to maintain justice in our world professionally, and we pray for them in their jobs. Their jobs are not easy. We ask that you would give them strength and perseverance, and when they are tempted to not be just, that you would remind them of the golden rule. Lord, help us to be people of mercy, to treat people like we would want to be treated. And help us to transmit that word which you have entrusted to us to those around us. Remind us that we must give an account to you, and we are thankful that you judge us based on what Christ has done for us and not solely on what we do. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is number 11, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Let us stand and sing.